All righty. Well, Galatians chapter number 1 is where we'll be tonight. Galatians chapter number 1. I don't know if y'all have noticed, I hope you have, but I enjoy just studying the Bible verse by verse. I think that's the best way to study it, and it's the best way for you to learn it, to be honest with you, to just go literally verse by verse through it. And that's why I love Wednesday night so much, just because I get to study all week and just see kind of what it's saying, and this has helped me to grow in my own relationship with the Lord, and I pray that it's done that for you too. But tonight we're just going to look at the rest of chapter 1. And then, of course, we won't be going through Galatians next week, but when we get back 2 weeks from now, we will we'll pick up and we'll run right through Galatians. And I don't know how long it's going to take us, but we'll look at this tonight. We kind of looked at it about 2 months ago, but I'm sure most of you, like me, don't remember what we talked about. So this actually, and I got some new stuff out of it. So let's look at it. Let's look at verse number 11, and we'll read through verse 24 through the end of chapter 1. So this is Paul, of course, writing. He's defending the gospel, and he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Now, we're not going to get to it tonight, but something awesome about those last two verses is when Paul used to be a persecutor of the church, he hated the church, he was a sinner. Then he got saved and he came into the church and he started preaching. They didn't look at him and say, no, you can't come in here because of what you've done in your past. But they accepted him and said, because God saved you, we'll accept you too. So that's what we need to do as the church too. We shouldn't judge people for what they've done in the past. Because if God doesn't hold it against them, I don't think we should either. So that's what they did with the Apostle Paul. But anyway, let's get into these verses tonight. They're kind of hard to understand. But before we get into it, let's talk about this. Whether you work with coworkers, whether you're at home with your brothers and sisters, or whether you're at church with a bunch of Baptists, there's one thing that's going to happen. Fight. Fights are going to happen at work, at church, at home. It doesn't matter what happens. Now, me growing up with two older brothers, I found out this. When fights happen, there's always two sides to the story. Y'all found that out too, hadn't you? There's always two sides to a story when a fight happens. Sometimes three, four, five, or six. And guess what? When we talk about there's two sides to the story, I just want you to imagine something for me real quick. I want you to think about two people that you trust in your mind. Now, I can think of them right now. I got two people right now that I trust. Let's say a fight comes up and your name gets thrown in the bunch. And you didn't have nothing to do with it. And you're wondering what happened. Well, these two men walk up to you and say, one of them walks up and says, "This is what happened. This is what was said. This is the truth." He walks away. And 30 minutes later, that next man that you trust walks up to you and says, "Danny, this is what happened. This is what was said. This is the truth." But those two stories totally contradict each other. Some of you have had that happen probably before. The question that you've now got to ask yourself is this: which story am I going to trust? Which story am I going to trust? That's a tough position to be put in, isn't it, Carol? deciding who are you going to trust. And I tell you that and tell you this. The church in Galatia, that's what happened. Paul came to them and he preaches, listen, you are saved by grace through faith. Weeks later, the Judaizers come and say, no, you are saved by the deeds of the law. And the Galatian Christians are sitting there saying, these are two totally different stories about how you are saved. Which person do we believe? Now you realize the tough position they're now put in, don't you? Because they're both, Paul and the Judaizers, are both talking about justification. How you are made righteous before God. Paul says by faith, the Judaizers say by the law. How do they know which one is telling the truth? That's tough, isn't it? How are they going to decide who is telling the truth? By the way, how do we know who's telling the truth? Paul or the Judaizers? Because listen, if the Judaizers are actually telling the truth, Justin needs to get to work. Because I ain't done near enough to merit my salvation. So if they're right, I need to start working a little bit harder. But if Paul's right, we realize that we are saved by grace through faith. So the question that I want to raise to you tonight as we look at chapter 1, who's telling the truth? Who is telling the truth? Because you know, whether you're a cop, cops have to do that all the time. They walk into a domestic violence situation in a home, you've got two different stories. He hit me, she hit me first, this happened. You know what he's got to do? He's got to examine the evidence. Whether you're a mom, you're breaking up a fight between two sons, you've got to see who started it. You've got to examine the evidence. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at the evidence here of who is telling the truth. Because the Apostle Paul realizes the conflict the Galatians are in. And he writes to them and says this. This is why you can trust me. He says, I'm telling you the truth, and this is the evidence why my message of the gospel is the truth. And this is going to reveal a lot to us tonight, actually, about why we need to understand why we're Christians. Why we can trust the Christian message. And Paul says, listen, the reason you can trust me is for two reasons. The message that I preach, number one, it was given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and number two, it was approved by His apostles. So number one, that's the first thing I want you to see tonight. We're going to go quick. The reason we can trust Paul's message is it was given by Christ. Look at verse 11 and 12. He said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. There's three negatives there. Not by man, neither was I taught it, neither did I receive it from man. So Paul just said that. He said, the reason you can trust my message is because it's not a man-made message. It is a message that Jesus Christ Himself revealed to me. He said, and that's why you can trust my message. Now, I'll never forget this. This is a book right here. It's a book that I love a lot. This is Billy Graham's autobiography. And the name of it is Just As I Am. Of course, that's the song they used to sing all the time. Look how thick it is. It's a huge book. Now, I love autobiographies. Those are my favorite type of books to read. And when we read this book, we see a lot of personal things about Billy Graham that I didn't know. There's a lot in this book that I read about him that I didn't know just from seeing him preach on TV. And that's what you get in autobiographies. You get personal things about people. Now, just for fun, I'm going to give you some things that you might not know about Billy Graham. Bob Jones University. Anybody ever heard of that? I lived about 45 minutes from Bob Jones University my whole life. Bob Jones Sr. started that school, of course. And Billy Graham went there for just a short time. And Bob Jones Sr. looked at Billy Graham in the face and said, you will never be a good preacher. Boy, I bet he bit those words a few years later, huh? He didn't. No, he didn't. You will never be a good preacher. That's what Bob Jones told him. And here's another one that I thought was cool. When him and Billy Graham and Ruth got married, the night of they got married, they went to spend their honeymoon in Boone, North Carolina. You know how much the room cost that night, Johnny? A room in Boone for a honeymoon suite. $1 a night. Yeah. Me and Monica went there last fall. You know how much we spent a night? $190 a night. Things have changed since then, hadn't they? $1. It's amazing. Another thing, at the age of 30, Billy Graham was a president of a college. You don't see presidents of college be 30 years old. But Northwestern College, Billy Graham was the president for about 3 years. I didn't know that at all. And also, before he was an evangelist, he was a pastor. Most of you probably know that. He pastored a small church in Illinois. Just like that. So, if you have time, and you're going to need a lot of time, get that book, because it's really interesting to study it, and it's really encouraging to just see that Billy Graham, I mean, he was nothing more than you and me. He was literally flesh and blood. And to think that God used a man from North Carolina to change so many people just through the gospel message, it's encouraging to think that God can use people just like you and me to do amazing things. But anyway, I tell you all that about autobiographies to tell you this. We find out personal things in autobiographies. Right here in Galatians 1, it is basically Paul's autobiography. He never does this in any other of his 12 letters. He never tells you anything really about his personal life except in the book of Acts sometimes. But he goes through this. He tells you, this is what I was before I was saved. This is what happened when I got saved. And this is actually where I went and what I did after I got saved for the next 14 years. And he does all of that for this reason. If you miss this, you miss the whole reason for chapter 1. He tells you all of these things to prove one thing. Man never taught me the gospel. Jesus was the only one who taught me the gospel in these years. All right? I want you to listen to this. Man didn't teach me the gospel, but Jesus revealed it to me 100%. He says, before my conversion, I was a Judaizer. I hated the church. I was zealous of the Father's traditions. I was a Jew. I cared nothing about Christianity. Now, I want you to think about this. Most of us, before we were converted, before we were born again, before we were saved, I don't know about you, but I was a Sunday school kid. Most of y'all were too. Most of you grew up in church. Every single week you went to Sunday school, you heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did. I can't remember a time in my life where I don't remember the gospel. It was taught to me from the time that I can remember. So people taught me the gospel. But Paul says, listen, before I got saved, I was not a Sunday school kid. I was not somebody who grew up learning about Jesus Christ. I was somebody who hated this Christianity stuff. I was somebody who was the complete opposite of what Christianity taught. So Paul's point in verses 13 and 14 is, listen, before I got converted, nobody ever taught me the gospel. The next thing is verse 15. He says, when I got converted, they didn't teach me the gospel then either. He says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. You've got to kind of go to Acts 9 to see what all happens. And we all know what happened. Jesus showed up and He saved him personally Himself. That didn't happen to me. Did that happen to anybody else? Be careful. Jesus never showed up right in front of my face and said, I'll save you. Right? We trust in Him by faith, right? But not Paul. Now, at my salvation, I can remember the lady who led me to the Lord. Some of y'all might remember the person who led you to the Lord. My lady's name was Miss Myers, and we did it sitting in the public school parking lot. And she led me to the Lord. She taught me the gospel. Paul is saying, listen, before I was converted, nobody taught it to me. When I was converted, nobody taught it to me. After I was converted, still, nobody taught it to me. And here's the main point of all of what he's saying. He says in verse 16, when God called me by His grace, I got saved, I got born again immediately. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now that's different than us too, because I don't know about you. The day I got saved, the first thing I did was tell my mama. When I got in the car, my mom was sitting in the parking lot of the school waiting on me to get out of school at 2:45 p.m. And I got in the car. She said, you have a good day. I said, I had the best day, mama. I got saved today. And we was already pulling off, and I swear my mama's car pulled right off the side of the road into a ditch, and we sat there and cried together. I told my mama that I got saved. That's the first thing I did. Not so with Paul. Paul said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to the main church. I didn't go talk to the apostles, the preachers. I didn't ask them anything. But the Bible says he went to Arabia. And we kind of talked about that before. Hopefully some of you remember it. But Paul says, I didn't talk to anybody. That's his point throughout all this. He's trying to prove to them the gospel that I preach was not man-made, was not man-taught. Before I was converted, I didn't learn it. At my conversion, I didn't learn it. And even after my conversion, nobody taught me the gospel, but I went into Arabia. Now, you can study the New Testament and you know this for yourself. Paul was different than the other apostles. Paul was different in this manner. Peter, James, and John all spent time with Christ on earth. Right? They were all with Christ while Christ was on earth. Paul was never with Christ while Christ was on earth. So Peter, James, and John learned directly from Jesus from His feet while He was on earth. Paul didn't. And that was kind of a hindrance to Paul from other people. They said, well, you're not even one of the 12. Why should we listen to you? Because Paul didn't get to do that. But that's why he said, I went into Arabia. Because it's obvious here that if Jesus revealed this to him, it was those 3 years while he was in Arabia. And he says he was there for 3 years. And what's interesting about that, how long did Peter, James, and John walk with Christ? That's right. 3 years. And guess how long Paul was in Arabia learning directly from the Lord Jesus Christ? 3 years. So much to Thomas Jefferson's dismay, who said the Apostle Paul is a phony. He's not a real Christian. He doesn't teach what Jesus taught. He's a real apostle just like Peter, James, and John was, because he spent 3 years there with Christ, learning all the doctrines that we find in the New Testament. So you can trust Paul tonight and all the stuff that he wrote for one reason. Jesus was the one who gave him all that he knew. It wasn't a man-made gospel. It was a God-made, Christ-ordained, Christ-given gospel. Now, let's talk about this for a second, because it's a tough question to answer. Why? I want you to answer it in your head if you can. Why are you a Christian? Now, we know what we believe, right? A Christian is a believer in Christ. That's obvious. Christians know what we believe. One of the things we lack in is why we believe it. I'm a believer in Christ. That's what a Christian is. But why am I a believer in Christ and not any other religion? We have to answer that question. Because I believe this. There's a reason why kids who grow up in church, they go off to college, start doing their own thing, and stats say, if you want to trust them, that 40% of them never step foot back in church or have anything to do with Christianity ever again. You want to know why? Because they have no idea why they believed in the first place. The only reason some of them believed is because it's what their parents believed. And one of the reasons why a lot of people say they're Christians is because their parents were Christians and they just taught it to them. But why are you a Christian? We need that foundation. Because I'm telling you, I went to a Christian school in college. And even in Christian school, they teach you evolution. They teach you all of this stuff. And it makes you think, if you're not really grounded enough in what you believe, you're going to say, well, why do I believe in God? He just said, I don't have to. I can explain things away without God. And that's why some of them never step foot back in here, because they really don't know why they believe it. And I tell you that because in chapter 1 of Galatians, it is one of the reasons why I am a Christian. Why am I a Christian other than any other religion in the world? Galatians 1 tells me part of it. Johnny? You want to know why I'm a Christian and not a Mormon? Because the Mormon's message came from a man. It came from a man named Joseph Smith. Christianity's message comes from a man named Jesus. Who am I going to trust? A man named Joseph or a man named Jesus? Hold on. I'm getting there. You want to know the reason I'm a Christian and not a Muslim? Is because the Muslim's message comes from a man named Muhammad. Christianity's message comes from the Son of God. You want to know the reason I'm not a Buddhist, but I'm a Christian? Is because the Buddhist message comes from Fat Buddha. But the Christian's message comes from who? God Himself. And do you want to know why I'm a Christian and not an atheist? Because I have common sense. Something had to make all this happen. Right? So Galatians 1 tells me one of the reasons why I believe what I believe. Because I'm not just believing what Paul said. I'm believing what God said. So, I've said this before. You want to know how to get to God, here's your options. You can listen to Joseph Smith, you can listen to Muhammad, you can listen to the Pope, you can listen to Buddha, or you can listen to Jesus, who is God. That's a very easy answer, isn't it? How do I get to God? God told me how to get to Him. That's an easy answer. Christianity is not man's message to man. Christianity is God's message to man. You want to know how to get to God? Ask God. He'll tell you. Man have their ideas. But I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why we should believe what we believe. Because every other religion is a man-made religion. It comes through the voice of man, the ideas of man. Christianity doesn't come through the Apostle Paul. It comes through God, through Paul. So that's why you and I should know we believe why what we believe. So when you look at this, John, did you have something to say? Yes, sir. He does. Yeah, he does. He'll open your eyes to it. Draw him. Yep, you have to. Yep. So, we got that tonight. So now you have something kind of to give an answer to. Why you're a believer in Christ and not a Muslim, not anything else. Because all that other stuff is man's message, but Christianity is the only message that God has given us on how to get to Him. So that's why I'm a Christian, part of the reason. Number two, and I'll be done. What also you want to see tonight is the reason we can trust Paul and the message that he gave is not only because his message was given by Christ, but also it was approved by the apostles. So let's read these first 10 verses, and then when we come back in 2 weeks, we're going to pick up in verse number 11, and it gets pretty good in verse number 11 because Peter and Paul kind of go at it for a second. But let's read the first 10 verses. Paul says, "Then 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat," this is the apostles, "whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no persons. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," or unto the Gentiles, "and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do." So we find out here that Paul goes to Jerusalem finally, after about 15 years after his conversion. And one of the reasons he goes is basically to get their approval, that they don't want to be preaching contradicting messages, because that would actually ruin the message of Christianity. Now, there were some in Paul's day, and even right now, as a matter of fact, who say the Apostle Paul preaches a different gospel than Jesus preached and a different gospel than Peter preached. There are people who say that today. Paul's gospel is different than Jesus' gospel, and Paul's gospel is different than Peter's gospel. And they bring out a lot of things because Jesus, I don't think many times Jesus even mentioned the word grace in the four gospels. So they say that Jesus' gospel is more about repentance and more about self-denial and all this stuff. Peter's gospel was more about repentance because he doesn't say much about grace either. And they said, well, Paul, that's all he talked about was just grace, grace, grace. You don't have to do anything to be saved and all this stuff. And on the surface, when you hear that, you're like, well, hey, you know, they make a kind of a good argument. Peter doesn't mention grace. Jesus doesn't mention grace. And here comes Paul just talking about all that all the time. But you can study the Gospels. You can study Acts 2 through 9. And you will find that there is only one gospel. There's only one gospel. And it's the gospel of the grace of God. Because Jesus, although He may not have said, you're saved by grace through faith, He said, he that believes in Me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that's a message of grace right there. Because the only way you and I can possibly be saved, Jesus doesn't even say you have to deny yourself to be saved, or you must deny yourself in order to be saved. If we've got all these things going, you've just got to understand. And you got to be careful about who you listen to. You got to be very careful of who you listen to. But it's only one gospel. And you can say even from Genesis to Revelation, there's only one gospel. Because in Genesis 3, you see the grace of God there. He should have killed Adam and Eve right there, but He didn't. He gave them grace. He covered them with the animal skins, which was a picture of salvation through Christ. So even in Genesis, you find grace. And you'll find Revelation, you'll find grace there too. So the Apostle Paul, did he preach the same gospel as Jesus did? And did he preach the same gospel as the apostles did? Well, let's see. He went to Peter, James, and John in Jerusalem. And more than likely, this James here is not John's brother. This is rather the brother of the Lord. Of course, you know, Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters. So more than likely, this James here was the Lord's brother. We hadn't talked about that before, but can you imagine growing up as Jesus' brother? Be tough. You want to talk about the favorite in the family? I can only imagine who was the favorite in the family. James was not. And that's why, actually, he wasn't a believer until after the resurrection, the Bible tells us. He was not a believer in his brother as the Son of God until after he rose from the dead. But anyway, there's Paul, and he walks into this the church, the Jerusalem church, the main church that was in the world at the time. And he walks in and he just flat out lays it out to them. He says, this is the gospel that Jesus taught me. And the apostles didn't look at him and say, well, you've got to add this and add this, take away this, and you'll be good. The Bible says in verse 6, in conference they added nothing to me. In other words, when Paul laid out the gospel to them, the apostles looked at him and said, you right on par, brother. Keep on preaching. Now, don't you think if the Apostle Paul preached a different gospel than what the apostles preached, the apostles were that close to Jesus while he was on earth. Can you imagine if Paul walked up in there and started preaching something totally contrary than what their Savior taught? Don't you think the apostles would have looked at him and said, no, 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 no. Do not start teaching that mess. They would have. But when Paul walked in there, they said, I don't have to add anything to you. The same thing we're preaching is the same thing you're preaching. And it's the same thing that Jesus preached to us for 3 years. It is the same exact message. Now, some will say in verse number 7, well, that says there's two gospels. The gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. There's two different gospels right there, right? No. The gospel of the uncircumcision was the fact that Paul was called to go to this certain group of people, the Gentiles. Peter was called to go to this certain group of people called the Jews. It'd be like Jimmy's called to go minister to the people in Africa, and I'm called to go minister to the people in Europe. We're going to preach the exact same gospel, but it's the two different people, right? That's exactly what verse 7 is saying. Peter is preaching the exact same gospel to the Jews, and Paul is preaching the exact same gospel to the Gentiles. That's all that is saying right there. And I love verse 6. Because Paul, when he walked into the church, he didn't feel like he was walking in like this to Peter, James, and John, saying, these are the apostles right here. He didn't walk in like that. He said, these who seem to be somewhat, in other words, other people might have looked at them this way, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no persons. In other words, God is not a favoritism of kind of a God. And that's what I love so much about Christianity. I've talked about this before. In Christianity, when people come to the cross, it's not a ground that goes like this. It's a ground that is completely like this. In other words, when you come to Christ, nobody is higher than the other person. The only person that's higher in Christianity is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I mean, that's what's so good about Christianity. You've got all these other divisions and stuff. You've got people that are higher than everybody else, CEOs and all that stuff, and that's fine. But in Christianity, you don't have the top Christian and the bottom Christian. In Christianity, you've got Christ and everybody else. That's why we can't walk around and say, well, I'm better than everybody else. Well, not really. The ground's level right here. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. But anyway, we find that here in verses 1 through 10. That we can trust Paul's message because not only it was given by Christ, but it was approved by the apostles. But I want you to look at verse 3 and I'm going to be done. Because this kind of opens up the rest of the book here. Here's Paul, Barnabas, and Titus. Paul and Barnabas are both Jews. All right? Titus is a Gentile. And he brought Titus into the church, and the Bible says, although he was a Greek or a Gentile, he was not compelled to be circumcised. Now, to us, that means absolutely nothing over here. But back then, it meant absolutely everything to be circumcised. All right? And as a matter of fact, chapter 2, verse 3, it introduces that message to us of circumcision. And you can find it so much in chapter 5. If you want to read that tonight, he talks about circumcision almost the whole chapter. Chapter number 6, near the end of the book, he talks about circumcision. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. So in other words, when you're saved, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised as a male. It's the same thing as Christians. You say, well, what in the world does circumcision have to do with salvation? Right? Because to us, that doesn't mean anything. But to them, it meant everything. Because what was happening here in the church, I'm going to tell you this, it's kind of hard to understand, and I'll be done. What was happening in the church was it was mainly Jewish people. And they believed in order to be a Christ follower, a Messiah follower, you had to be a Jew. Because a Christ follower was only for the Jewish people. All right? Christ was designated alone for the Jews. Therefore, if you Gentiles over there want to be a Christian, there's only one option. You've got to become a Jew. All right? So in order to become a Jew, if you're a Gentile, it's very simple. If you're a male, get circumcised. If you're a male, keep the law. If you're a male, go to all the festivals, do all the things, sacrifice all these things in the Old Testament, and you'll be fine. You'll be converted to Judaism, and then you can be fine. Well, that's exactly what they were preaching. The Judaizers came up and said, listen, Gentiles, we both believe in Jesus, but in order for you to be a full Christian, you've also got to become a Jew. You've also got to notice the name Judaizer. They were trying to bring people over into Judaism. So that's what circumcision is all about. They're saying, listen, Jews were circumcised, Gentiles weren't. They're saying, in order for you to be a full Christ follower, you have got to do this. You have got to become a Jew. You have got to do this and do that. Now, I don't know if anybody else has ever heard it, but growing up, I've never heard a preacher stand up and say, you better be circumcised, Carol, or you're not saved. Right? I have it. Some of you may have. But there are people who say you must be baptized to be saved. Is that right? Some say that you better be baptized as a baby to be saved. You must be sprinkled. You even must be immersed back there to be saved, Brother Danny. So it's the same thing that's happening today. Although it's a different kind of form, it's the same thing. But Paul, I mean, that's the whole point of Galatians. Saying, no, there's nothing else that needs to be done after faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. After you've been born again and transformed by Him, there's nothing else that needs to be done. Not baptism, not circumcision, not any of these things can add to your salvation. But it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's what our salvation is all about. So we'll talk about circumcision a lot more as we get more into this book tonight. But church, I want you to know that you don't have to go home doubting why you're a Christian. You don't have to go home and doubt whether what I just read to you is the 100% truth. Because this is not Paul's words, this is God's word. You don't have to doubt whether this stuff is the truth or not. Because it was revealed to Paul through the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So everything he spoke was the truth, and we have it right here. So you no longer have to doubt your salvation or doubt these things that he wrote because it came from Christ. Father, we do thank you for this word tonight, going just a little bit through it. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to not keep it within us, but go out and share it. To other people, Lord, of why we're Christians, of why we believe what we believe. And we thank you for giving us this inspired word, this revealed word that you've given, Lord, that we might know who you are and we might grow in our relationship with you, God. And I pray that you'd keep us safe as we do leave this place tonight. God, be with us throughout the rest of this week. Help us to grow more in your word, to hunger more for it. God, help us to be the people that you've truly called us to be as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for Sunday as you bring us back, I pray that you'd touch every aspect of the service. And God, I pray that you would just be glorified in all that's done. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.